ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदाह्मायं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापरकलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथं विधं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सार्वधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपरं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखन्वितंश्च हे कृष्णकरुणसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकन्त राधाकन्त नमोऽस्तु ते प्राप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुस्तु ते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे गो प्रेमानन्दे हरिभो And to all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis on the phone call tonight, as you listen to the qualities of Lord Krishna as given to us by our acharyas, when you hear something that really sticks in your mind, then you can jot it down or make a mental note. Because at the end, I'll leave a little extra time tonight for devotees to give their reflections, anything that's stuck in your mind, because it's really nice to reflect back. It magnifies what we're hearing. And I know I left a few of you stranded last night. I know that we left about four or six devotees that wanted to add something but weren't able to get on the call. So I'll try to get everybody in tonight, okay? And we're taking up again from the Nectar of Devotion, which is the summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami, the direct disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who heard directly from him, is also a resident of the spiritual world, known as Rupa Manjari, who is a servant of Srimati Radharani, knows very well the qualities of Krishna. And in this way, the revealed scriptures bring us the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is very much important to understand and cultivate because it's necessary for us to develop a real attraction for the personality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all of his followers in the spiritual world in order to transfer ourselves successfully to the spiritual world. This process is chalked out in the Nectar of Devotion, the system of actually hearing about in great detail the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual world, the characteristics of the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees and so forth. Just by hearing submissively these details, which are accurately presented through these scriptures, then one's mind will soon develop an attraction for them, because they're extremely appealing. And by that attraction, we begin to develop our connection, or rather reawaken that connection. But there is a way, by hearing, there's a descent of the what is called the Swarup Shakti from the spiritual world that enters into the heart and mind of the devotee through the process of hearing. And through that, one can actually become aware of one's loving relationship with Krishna. It's a descent of mercy. And the way that's invoked is by the process of submissive hearing through the disciplic succession. So that's what we're doing, faithfully following this system, which has been chalked out all the way from the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, and so forth down the line. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that we are in the line of submissive hearing, and that is our main process. So I'm taking up at quality number 27, Krishna's quality of being self-satisfied, for those of you who are following along in the nectar of devotion. A person who is fully satisfied in himself without any hankering, and who is not agitated even in the presence of serious cause for distress, is called self-satisfied. An example of Krishna's self-satisfaction was exhibited when he, Arjuna, and Bhima went to challenge Jarasandha, the formidable king of Magadha, and Krishna gave all credit to Bhima for the killing of Jarasandha. From this, we can understand that Krishna never cares at all for fame, although no one can be more famous. An example of his not being disturbed was shown when Shishupal began to call him ill names. All the kings and brahmanas assembled at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Yudhishthira became perturbed and immediately wanted to satisfy Krishna by offering nice prayers. But all these kings and brahmanas could not discover any disturbance in Krishna's person. 28. Possessing equilibrium. A person who is unaffected by attachment and envy is said to possess equilibrium. An example of Krishna's equilibrium is given in the 10th canto, 16th chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in connection with his chastising Kaliya, the hundred-headed serpent. While Kaliya was being severely punished, all of his wives appeared before the Lord and prayed as follows. Dear Lord, you have descended to punish all kinds of demoniac living creatures. Our husband, this Kaliya, is a grateful, sinful creature, and so your punishment for him is quite appropriate. We know that your punishment for the enemies and your dealings with your sons are both the same. We know that it is in thinking of the future welfare of this condemned creature that you have chastised him. In another prayer, it is said, my dear Lord Krishna, best of all the Kuru dynasty, you are so impartial that if you, even your enemy is qualified, you will reward him. And if one of your sons is culprit, you will chastise him. This is your business, because you are the supreme author of the universes. You have no partiality. If anyone finds any partiality in your characteristics, he is surely mistaken. 29. Magnanimous. Any person who is charitably disposed is called magnanimous. When Krishna was reigning over Dwarka, he was so magnanimous and charitably disposed that there was no limit to his charity. In fact, so great was his charity in Dwarka that even the spiritual kingdom, with all of its opulence of Chintamani, Touchstone, Desire Trees, and Surabhi cows, was surpassed. In the spiritual kingdom of Lord Krishna, named Goloka Vrindavan, there are Surabhi cows which give unlimited quantities of milk. There are desire trees from which anyone can take all kinds of fruits as much as he may desire. The land is made of touchstone, which when touched to iron will transform it into gold. In other words, although in the spiritual kingdom, the abode of Krishna, everything is wonderfully opulent, still when Krishna was in Dwarka, his charity exceeded the opulences of Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna is present, the limitless opulence of Goloka Vrindavan is automatically present. It is also stated that while Krishna was living in Dwarka, he expanded himself into 16,108 forms, and each and every expansion resided in a palace with a queen. Not only was Krishna happily living with his queens in those palaces, but he was giving in charity from each palace an aggregate number of 13,054 cows, completely decorated with knights' clothing and ornaments. From each of Krishna's 16,108 palaces, these cows were being given in charity by Krishna every day. No one can estimate the value of such a large number of cows given in charity. But that was the system of Krishna's daily affairs while he was reigning in Dwarka. 30. Religious. A person who personally practices the tenets of religion as they are enjoined in the Shastras and who also teaches others the same principles is called religious. Simply professing a kind of faith is not a sign of religiousness. One must act according to religious principles, and by his personal example he should teach others. Such a person is to be understood as religious. When Krishna was present on this planet, there was no irreligion. In this connection, Narada Muni once addressed Krishna jokingly, "My dear Lord of the cowherd boys, your bulls are the representation of religion, while eating grass from the pasturing ground and moving on their four legs, have certainly eaten up all the grass of irreligion." In other words, by the grace of Krishna, religious principles were so well cared for that hardly any irreligious activities could be found. It is said that because Krishna was constantly performing various types of sacrifices and was inviting the demigods from the higher planetary systems, the demigods were almost always absent from their consorts. Therefore, the wives of the demigods, regretting the absence of their husbands, began to pray for the appearance of Lord Buddha, Krishna's ninth incarnation, who appears in the age of Kali. In other words, instead of being pleased that Lord Krishna had come, they began to pray for Lord Buddha, who is the ninth incarnation, because Lord Buddha stopped the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas in order to discourage animal killing. The demigods' wives thought that if Lord Buddha appeared, all kinds of sacrifices would be stopped, and thus their husbands would not be invited to such ceremonies and would not be separated from them. Sometimes it is inquired, why don't the demigods from higher planetary systems come to this earth planet nowadays? The plain answer is that since Lord Buddha appeared and began to deprecate the performance of sacrifice in order to stop animal killing on this planet, the process of offering sacrifices has been stopped, and the demigods do not care to come here anymore. 31. This is chapter 22, Qualities of Krishna Further Explained, in chapter 22, and the quality number is 31, heroic. A person who is very enthusiastic in military activities and expert in releasing different kinds of weapons is called heroic. Regarding Krishna's heroism in fighting, there is the following statement. My dear killer of the enemy, just as the elephant while taking bath in the lake destroys all the lotus stems within the water by swinging its trunk, so simply by moving your arms, which are compared to the trunks of elephants, you have killed so many lotus-like enemies. Regarding Krishna's expertise in releasing weapons, when Jarasandha and 13 divisions of soldiers attacked Krishna's army, they were unable to hurt even one soldier on the side of Krishna. This was due to Krishna's expert military training. This is unique in the history of military art. 32. Compassionate. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. Krishna's compassion for distressed persons was exhibited when he released all the kings imprisoned by Magadendra. While dying, Grandfather Bhishma prayed to Krishna and described him as the sun which eradicated darkness. The kings imprisoned by Magadendra were put into dark cells, and when Krishna appeared there, the darkness immediately disappeared, just as if the sun had risen. In other words, although Magadendra was able to imprison so many kings, upon the appearance of Krishna, they were all released. Krishna released the kings out of his sincere compassion for them. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, which had been shot through his body. While lying in this position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. 33. Respectful. A person who shows adequate respect to a spiritual master, a brahmana, and an old person is to be understood as being respectful. When superior persons assembled before Krishna, Krishna first of all offered respect to his spiritual master, then to his father, and then to his elder brother Balaram. In this way, Lord Krishna, the lotus-eyed, was completely happy and pure at heart in all of his dealings. 34. Gentle. Any person who neither becomes impudent nor exhibits a puffed-up nature is called gentle. The example of Krishna's gentle behavior was manifested when he was coming to the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Krishna's older cousin. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he was attempting to get down from his chariot to receive Krishna. But before Yudhishthira could get down, Lord Krishna got down from his own chariot and immediately fell at the feet of the king. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never forgets to show social etiquette in his dealings. 35. Liberal. Any person who is by his natural behavior very mild is called liberal. A statement by Uddhava after the Shamanchaka jewel plundering confirms that Krishna is so kind and favorable that if a servitor is accused even of great offenses, Krishna does not take this into consideration. He simply considers the service that is rendered by his devotee. Shy. A person who sometimes exhibits humility and bashfulness is called shy. As described in the Lalita Madhava, Krishna's shyness was manifested when he lifted Govardhana Hill by the little finger of his left hand. All the gopis were observing Krishna's wonderful achievement, and Krishna was smiling at seeing the gopi. When Krishna's glance went over the breasts of the gopis, his hand began to shake, and upon seeing his hand shake, all of the cowherd men underneath the hill became a little disturbed. Then there was a tumultuous roaring sound, and they all began to pray to Krishna for safety. At this time, Lord Balaram was smiling, thinking that these cowherd men had been frightened by the shaking of Govardhan Hill. But seeing Balaram smile, Krishna thought that Balaram had understood his mind in observing the breasts of the gopis, and he immediately became bashful. 37. Protector of surrendered souls. Krishna is the protector of all surrendered souls. Some enemy of Krishna's was enlivened with the thought that he needn't fear Krishna, because if he simply surrendered unto him, Krishna would give him all protection. Krishna is sometimes compared to the moon, which does not hesitate to distribute its soothing rays, even on the houses of chandalas and other untouchables. Happy. Any person who is always joyful and untouched by any distress is called happy. As far as Krishna's enjoyment is concerned, it is stated that the ornaments which decorated the bodies of Krishna and his queens were beyond the dreams of Kuvera, the treasure of the heavenly kingdom. The constant dancing before the doors of Krishna's palaces was not to be imagined even by the demigods in the heavenly kingdom. In the heavenly kingdom, Indra always sees the dancing of the society girls, but even Indra could not imagine how beautiful were the dances being performed at the gates of Krishna's palaces. Gauri means white woman, and Lord Shiva's wife is called Gauri. The beautiful women residing within the palaces of Krishna were so much whiter than Gauri that they were compared to the moonshine, and they were constantly visible to Krishna. Therefore, no one can be enjoying more than Krishna. The conception of enjoyment is beautiful women, ornaments, and riches. And all of these were fabulously present in the palaces of Krishna, defeating even the imagination of Kuvera, Lord Indra, or Lord Shiva. Not even a slight distress can touch Krishna. Once some of the gopis went to the palace where the brahmanas were performing sacrifice and said, "Dear wives of the brahmanas, you must know that not even a slight smell of distress can touch Krishna. He knows no loss. He knows no defamation. He has no fear. He has no anxiety. And he does not know calamity. He is simply encircled by the dancers of Raja and is enjoying their company in the Rasa dance." 39. Well-wisher of his devotees. It is said of Krishna's devotees that if they offer even a little water or tulsi leaf in devotion to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is so kind that he will sell himself to them. Krishna's favoritism toward his devotees was exhibited in his fight with Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying at the point of death on the bed of arrows, Krishna was present before him, and Bhishma was remembering how Krishna had been kind to him on the battlefield. Krishna had promised that in the Battle of Kurukshetra, he would not touch a weapon to help either side. He would remain neutral. Although Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, he had promised that he would not help Arjuna by using any weapons. But one day, Bhishma, in order to nullify Krishna's promise, exhibited his fighting spirit so magnificently against Arjuna that Krishna was obliged to get down from his chariot. Taking up a broken chariot wheel, he ran toward Grandfather Bhishma as a lion runs toward an elephant to kill it. Grandfather Bhishma remembered this scene and later praised Krishna for his glorious favoritism toward his devotee, Arjuna, even at the risk of breaking his own promise. 40. Controlled by love. Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. A very nice example of this obligatory behavior was manifested when Sudama Vipra went to Krishna's palace. Sudama Vipra had been a class friend of Krishna's, and due to his poverty, he was induced by his wife to see Krishna to request some aid. When Sudama Vipra reached Krishna's palace, Krishna received him very well, and both he and his wife washed the feet of Sudama Vipra, showing respect to the Brahmana. Remembering his loving affairs with Sudama in their childhood, Krishna began to shed tears while receiving him. Another instance of Krishna's obligation to his devotee is described in the 10th canto, 9th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, "My dear king, when Mother Yashoda was perspiring, tired of trying to bind Krishna up with rope, Krishna agreed to follow her to bind him. Krishna, as a child, was disturbing his mother by his naughty activities, and she wanted to bind him up. Mother Yashoda brought some rope from the house and tried to tie up the child, but she could not tie a knot due to the shortness of the rope. She tied together many ropes, but when she finished, still the rope was too short. After a while, she felt very tired and began to perspire. At that time, Krishna agreed to be bound up by his mother. In other words, no one can bind Krishna by any means other than love. He is bound only by obligation to his devotees because of their ecstatic love for him." 41. All auspicious. A person who is always engaged in auspicious welfare activities for everyone is known as all auspicious. After the disappearance of Lord Krishna from this planet, Uddhava began to remember the activities of the Lord and said, "Krishna satisfied all great sages by his wonderful pastimes. He demolished all of the demoniac activities of the cruel royal order, protected all pious men, and killed all cruel fighters on the battlefield. Therefore, he is all auspicious for all men." 42. Most powerful. A person who can always put his enemy into calamities is called powerful. When Krishna was present on this planet, just as the powerful sun drives all darkness to take shelter in caves, he drove away all of his enemies who fled like owls to take shelter beyond his sight. 43. All famous. A person who becomes well known due to his spotless character is called famous. It is stated that the diffusion of Krishna's fame is like the moonshine, which turns darkness into light. In other words, if Krishna consciousness is preached all over the world, the darkness of ignorance and the anxiety of material existence will turn into the whiteness of purity, peacefulness, and prosperity. When the great sage Narada was chanting the glories of the Lord, the bluish line on the neck of Lord Shiva disappeared. Upon seeing this, Gauri, the wife of Lord Shiva, suspected Lord Shiva of being someone else, disguised as her husband, and out of fear, she immediately left his company. Upon hearing the chanting of Krishna's name, Lord Balaram saw that his dress had become white, although he was generously accustomed to a bluish dress. And the cowherd girl saw all the water of the river, of the Jamuna River, turn into milk. So they began to churn it into butter. In other words, by the spreading of Krishna consciousness or the glories of Krishna, everything became white and pure. Incidentally, the deities in Chicago, Kishore Kishori, Krishna's deity is white. Normally he's blackish. And when the devotees asked Prabhupada about that, he said that he had turned white out of ecstasy. Similarly, usually you say the name of Radharani first. First comes the energy, then the energetic. And so the devotees also asked, why is it Kishore Kishore and not Kishori Kishore? And Prabhupada said, we have saved the best for last. Popular, number 44. Any person who is very dear to people in general is called a popular man. As for Krishna's popularity, there is a statement in the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, that deals with his returning home from the capital of Hastinapur. While he had been absent from Dwarka at the Battle of Kukshetra, all the citizens of Dwarka had become morose. Then when he returned, the citizens joyfully received him and said, dear Lord, while you were absent from the city, we passed our days in the darkness of night. As in the darkness of night, every moment appears to be a long duration of time. So while you were gone, every moment appeared to us like millions of years. Your separation is completely unbearable to us. This statement shows how popular Krishna was all over the country. A similar incident occurred when Krishna entered the arena of sacrifice arranged by King Kamsa for his death. As soon as he entered the place, all the sages began to cry, Jai, 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 which means victory. Krishna was a boy at that time, and all the sages offered their respectful blessings to him. The demigods who were present also began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna, and the ladies and girls present expressed their joy from all corners of the arena. In other words, there was no one in that particular place with whom Krishna was not very popular. 43. Partiality to devotees. Although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and is therefore not partial to anyone, it is stated in Bhagavad Gita that he has special attraction for a devotee who worships his name in love and affection. When Krishna was on this planet, one devotee expressed his feeling in this way. My dear Lord, if you had not appeared on this planet, then the asuras, demons, and atheists would have surely created havoc against the activities of the devotees. I cannot imagine the magnitude of such devastation prevented by your presence. From the very beginning of his appearance, Krishna was the greatest enemy of all demoniac persons. Krishna's enmity toward the demons is actually comparable to his friendship with the devotees. This is because any demon who is killed by Krishna receives immediate salvation. 46. Very attractive to all women. Any person who has special qualifications becomes immediately very attractive to women. A devotee made the following statement about the queens of Dwarka. How shall I describe the glories of the queens of Dwarka who are personally engaged in the service of the Lord? The Lord is so great that simply by chanting his name, all the great sages like Narada can enjoy transcendental bliss. So what can be said about those queens who were at every moment seeing the Lord and serving him personally? Krishna had 16,180 wives in Dwarka. Each and every one of them was attracted to Krishna, just as iron is attracted by a magnet. There is a statement by a devotee, my dear Lord, you are just like a magnet, and all the damsels of Raja are just like iron. In whichever direction you are moving, they are following you, as iron is attracted by magnetic force. 47. Oh, worshipable. A person who is respected and worshipped by all kinds of human beings and demigods is called Sarvarajya, or all worshipable. Krishna is worshipped not only by all living entities, including the great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but also by Vishnu's expansions, forms of Godhead, such as Baladeva and Shesha. Baladeva is a direct expansion of Krishna, but he still accepts Krishna as worshipable. When Krishna appeared in the arena of the Rajasuya sacrifice organized by Maharaj Yudhishthira to all present, including great sages and demigods, Krishna became the cynosure, the center of attraction, and everyone offered him respects. 4.8, all opulence. Krishna is full in all opulences, namely strength, wealth, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. When Krishna was present in Dwarka, his family, which is known as the Yadu dynasty, consisted of 560 million members. And all these family members were very obedient and faithful to Krishna. There were more than 900,000 big palatial buildings there to house all the people. And everyone in them respected Krishna as the most worshipable. Devotees were astonished to see the opulence of Krishna. This was verified by Bilva Mangal Thakur when in Krishna Karnamrita he addressed Krishna thus, "My dear Lord, what can I say about the opulence of your Vrindavan? Simply the ornaments on the legs of the damsels of Vrindavan are more than Chintamani, and their dresses are as good as the heavenly Parijata flowers, and the cows exactly resemble the Surabhi cows in the transcendental abode. Therefore, your opulence is just like an ocean that no one can measure." 49, all honorable. A person who is chief among all important persons is called all honorable. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, the king of heaven, and many others used to come to visit him. The doorkeeper who had to manage the entrance of all these When Krishna was living at Dwarka, demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, the king of heaven, and many others used to come to visit him. The doorkeeper who had to manage the entrance of all these demigods, one very busy day said, "My dear Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, please sit down on this bench and wait. My dear Indra, please desist from reading your prayers. This is creating a disturbance. Please wait silently. My dear Varuna, please go away. And my dear demigods, do not waste your time uselessly. Krishna is very busy. He cannot see you." 50, the Supreme Controller. There are two kinds of controllers or lords. One who is independent is called controller, and one whose orders cannot be neglected by anyone is called controller. Regarding Krishna's complete independence and lordship, Srimad Bhagavatam says that although Kaliya was a great offender, Krishna still favored him by marking his head with his lotus feet, whereas Lord Brahma, although having prayed to Krishna with so many wonderful verses, still could not attract him. This contradictory treatment by Krishna is just befitting his position, because in all the Vedic literature, he is described as the complete independent. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is described as Swarat, which means completely independent. This is the position of the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is not only sentient, but is also completely independent. As for Krishna's orders not being neglected by anyone, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 2nd Chapter, verse 21, Uddhava tells Vidura, "Lord Krishna is the master of the three modes of material nature. He is the enjoyer of all opulences, and therefore there is no one equal to or greater than him. All the great kings and emperors used to come before him, offer their gifts and pay obeisances with their helmets at the feet of the Lord." One devotee said, "My dear Krishna, when you order Brahma, now you may create the universe. And when you order Lord Shiva, now you dissolve this material manifestation. You are in this way creating and dissolving the material creation yourself. Simply by your orders and by your partial representation of Vishnu, you are maintaining the universes. In this way, O Krishna, O enemy of Kamsa, There are so many Brahmas and Shivas who are simply carrying out your orders. 51. Changeless. Krishna does not change his constitutional position, not even when he appears in this material world. Ordinary living entities have their constitutional spiritual positions covered. They appear in different bodies, and under the different bodily concepts of life they act. But Krishna does not change his body. He appears in his own body and is therefore not affected by the modes of material nature. In the first canto, 11th chapter, verse 38 of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the special prerogative of the Supreme Controller is that he is not at all affected by the modes of nature. The practical example of this is that devotees who are under the protection of the Lord are also not affected by material nature. To overcome the influence of material nature is very difficult, but the devotees of the saintly persons who are under the protection of the Lord are not affected. So what need is there to speak of the Lord himself? To be more clear, although the Lord sometimes appears in this material world, he has nothing to do with the modes of material nature, and he acts with full independence in his transcendental position. This is the special quality of the Lord. 52. All cognizant. Any person who can understand the feelings of all persons and incidents in all places at all times is called all cognizant. A nice example of the all-cognizant quality of the Lord is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 15th chapter, verse 11, in connection with Durvasa Muni's visit to the house of the Pandavas in the forest. Following a calculated plan, Duryodhan sent Durvasa Muni and his 10,000 disciples to be guests of the Pandavas in the forest. Duryodhan arranged for Durvasa and his men to reach the place of the Pandavas just when the Pandavas' lunchtime ended, so that the Pandavas would be caught without sufficient means to feed such a large number of guests. Knowing Duryodhan's plan, Krishna came to the Pandavas and asked their wife, Draupadi, if there were any remnants of food which she could offer to him. Draupadi offered him a container in which there was only a little fragment of some vegetable preparation, and Krishna at once ate it. At that moment, all the sages accompanying Durvasa were taking bath in the river, and when Krishna felt satisfaction from eating Draupadi's offering, they also felt satisfaction and their hunger was gone. Because Durvasa and his men were unable to eat anything more, they went away without coming into the house of the Pandavas. In this way, the Pandavas were saved from the wrath of Durvasa. Duryodhan had sent them because he knew that since the Pandavas would not be able to receive such a large number, Durvasa would become angry and the Pandavas would be cursed. But Krishna saved them from this calamity by his trick and by his all-cognizant quality. And now we'll take a few reflections of any of the qualities of Lord Krishna that you've heard so far. And we get to finish the rest of it tomorrow, which gets into the qualities that Krishna has that nobody else has, including Lord Narayan. And that's going to be really nice. So, Shraddha will do the needful.
Yeah, thank you so much, Guru Maharaj, for the wonderful reading. Dear devotees, I'm going to put you into the question and answer mode. So please press star 6 on your keypad, on your phone pad, to join the queue.
So what quality stuck in your mind?
Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Go ahead, we can hear you. We did for a second. Who is that?
Hare Krishna, 720-352. Your lines are open right now. Maybe you can come back and join the queue again. Please go ahead.
Is everyone off mute?
Yeah, they're going off mute. The show is mute on the console.
Okay, there's our first customer.
Dhanyavad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking how Prabhupada gives the example of the iron and the magnet of Krishna's attraction towards how he's attracted to all women in Dwaraka. And also in the place where he explains the demigods come to see Krishna, and Prabhupada explains as if he's seeing the pastime, that how the doorkeeper asked them to sit on the bench. So he makes it so lively because all these pastimes are revealed to Prabhupada as he writes in Krishna book. So I really like those two instances. And also the point where Krishna is all cognizant. Because elsewhere also in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that even though we go through many sufferings, sometimes we may not be able to explain all the feelings to somebody else. But Krishna as Paramatma knows everything. And if we take the sincere shelter of him, he protects. And which is the proof that how he protected the Pandavas from Duryodhana's curse.
Wow, that was a nice realization. Thank you, Gandharvika. In other words, after hearing that, you're more inspired to surrender to Krishna because you know that he's in your heart, he's all cognizant, he's fully aware of your mood and what your intentions are. Is that correct?
Yes, that gives me, that actually gives lots of hope, especially when we go through frustrations and all the difficulties in life. This thing goes that you have a friend with you all the time, so it gives a lot of encouragement.
I'm very impressed, and not only that, just hearing that, I'm encouraged myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna. Who's next? Talking about the qualities of Krishna. What could be better? We're using our time up to the moment of Janmashtami talking about Krishna's qualities.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. I like the quality of compassion, compassionate. Krishna is very compassionate towards his devotees and actually towards everyone, every living soul. And the examples given here are also great, as Grandfather Bhishma and the kings that were captured by Jarasandha.
Yeah. And also, when Krishna reclaimed the queens who had also been kidnapped, they were considered that they had gone out of the house and invaded culture at that time. No one else would marry them, so they prayed to Krishna, "You please marry us." And as Prabhupada describes, when they prayed to Krishna, Krishna says, "Yes, come on." And he took them all back to Dwarka and married all of them, and they became his queens in Dwarka. They're actually his eternal queens, but he goes through that pastime, which is an eternal pastime. But another example of his compassion. Yeah, very nice, Jai Kanak. Good one. Thank you very much. Who else would like to recall one of Krishna's qualities and become purified just by remembering and speaking?
Hare Krishna, Bandhavat Pandam, this is Shyamroop Das. I like the quality of Krishna being partial to his devotees. So one example that came to my mind was that the demigods and demons, they were churning the ocean, and Krishna was all the time managing the show of ultimately giving them the nectar. But he was not hankering for nectar. But in case of like Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan, Krishna was hankering for when Mother Yashoda churned and she got butter for Krishna. Krishna was hankering for that. But he distributed himself that to the monkeys who were his devotees from the past lives. So that shows Krishna, the one that Krishna is hankering for, that he is sharing with his devotees. So Krishna is partial, so that's very sweet. So I like that.
Very nice, thank you. In that section, Srila Prabhupada made a mention of the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Gita 9:29, the famous verse, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stunapriyaha Ibhajanti Tumam Bhaktya Maite Teshu Chapyaham. Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in him. The Lord says here directly, Maite, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This is also explained by the words, Yeyata mam prapadyante tans tataiva bhajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because both the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter, and when the living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. Isn't that a beautiful last statement? Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. And Prabhupada writes, the Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of his devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there's no personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, there's no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity, but in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree, and whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and his devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. Thank you for that point about him, the partiality. It's particularly noted by the acharyas that this is a quality that is especially endearing in Krishna. Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. This is Hansapriya.
Hari Bo, Hansapriya.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. So, Prabhuji, two things start to me. The one is that Krishna doesn't need our service. He's complete, but he can be, he's obliged, when we love him, he's obliged to our love. So I was just thinking, he's so compassionate. Just to be kind to us, he gives us that opportunity that we have to just genuinely love him. Not we have to do anything artificially, or we can be who we are, and he allows us to love him. So
that's very nice. I seem to remember that Prabhupada mentioned also that Krishna, it's not the service that he notices so much, but the mood the service is done in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes along the same lines, right?
Right, right.
Nice.
And the other point struck me was, it was quite relief that when you read the quality of cognizance, that he can know everything inside of us. And it's, to be honest, in the material world, even though you may have family, friends, money, whatever, but it's still a lonely journey. It's quite a relief to know that, and Krishna is there in the heart, and who knows everything. So then it gives you that, you know, the feeling of being complete. and being something a part of something higher. So it just doesn't make it as miserable. It gives you the hope that you can serve him and he's there.
Beautiful realization, Santapriya. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for reading.
My pleasure. Who else would like to offer a reflection about Krishna's transcendental qualities?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandrat Pranam, Gita here.
Hare Krishna, Gita.
I like the quality 37, where it says, protector of surrendered souls. As you rightly said, Prabhuji, Krishna protects every soul that surrenders fully to him. It doesn't matter whether he is Shudra or he is Chandala or anybody. You just have to surrender yourself to Krishna and he will protect you.
Such a nice point. It reminds me of the point you're making of Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita in 1866, where Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityaja mame kam sharanam vraja. Aham tom sarva papi bhyo moksha ishami masuchaha. Just abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not worry, do not hesitate, do not fear. And the first Back to Godhead magazine that I got had a reprint of that verse and purport in it. And I kept reading it over and over again, and I'm thinking, this deal is too incredible. I'd never heard of such a deal before. And it is amazing. It doesn't matter who you are, what situation you're in right now. If you just throw yourself on the mercy of Krishna and surrender to him completely, then he'll completely accept you.
Yes,
thanks for bringing our attention to that, Gita. That was very nice.
Thank you for reading, Prabhuji. It's really, all these qualities have really touched us. Thank you very much for sharing this with us, Prabhuji.
Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It was Gita Mataji who had joined us first in the queue, and we couldn't hear her voice for some reason, but she got back again.
Oh, good. Fantastic.
That's persistence.
Anyone else in the queue, Shada?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Bhakta Raphael. I said my humble obeisances.
Bhakta Raphael. Fantastic. All the way from the East Coast.
Yes, sir.
Dang, I'm late. Best to hear Krishna's transcendental qualities. Such a pleasure to hear your voice. Go ahead, Bhakti Raphael. Let's hear your reflection.
Putting all these qualities together that Krishna can share with us, all his mercy, all his passion and love, it's a wonderful thing that we can enjoy. But reading some of the texts that Prabhupada wrote, even on the Bhagavad Gita, he said that all of these qualities can be enjoyed only if you accept a spiritual master. Other than that, all your efforts are in vain. So my question regarding that is, what happened when you have times and time passing by and you offering yourself, you surrender yourself to Krishna and do what you're supposed to, you lose all that time, all those efforts, all those surrenderings that you did, or those things are getting in consideration before you accept the spiritual master and get initiated?
Yeah, the second sentence in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Krishna says, in the fifth verse, that Neha Vikraman Shosti Pratyavayana Vidite Swapam Apyasya Dharmasya Trete Mahatopayat, that even a little endeavor on this path can save one from the most dangerous type of fear. He indicates in that verse, Swapam Apyasya. Swapam. Su'alpa means just a tiny bit of endeavor. It's permanent. It goes on your record. And similarly, in the sixth chapter of the Gita, Krishna talks about how when somebody starts the process of devotional service, if he or she doesn't succeed in one lifetime, then all that advancement, whatever it is, if you make 2% advancement, next life you start at 3% and so forth. So you get forward progress. It's counted. Everything is counted. and record it. In fact, the Prabhupada says that in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. When he mentions Ajamil was in a very abominable situation of life. He had fallen down from all the principles. He didn't even have a conception of doing anything spiritual. He was just enjoying his senses to the fullest. Meanwhile, he had named his son Narayan. Unconsciously, he was chanting God's name over and over again. And there, the Sukadev Goswami mentions how he was making spiritual advancement, agyata, unknowingly he was doing. And Prabhupada mentions in a purport there that in spiritual life, everything is recorded and counted. So there's no question, even before one surrenders to a spiritual master, the whatever one offers to the Supreme Lord is considered. Otherwise, this is the progressive path. There's always the steps that one is taking, coming closer and closer to Krishna. And that process never ends. We're eternally students. It's not that we come to a certain level and then that's it. In fact, initiation means beginning. So it's like a new beginning, actually. Even after one has endeavored for so many years, and one becomes very intimately connected to Krishna, that whole idea of accepting a spiritual master is a way of coming closer to Krishna. So the short answer is yes, it's recorded and it's counted. You get forward progress. It's not taken away or erased or anything like that. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hari Bol, Jai Bhakti Raphael. Nice to hear your voice. Anyone else please in accept, the queue?
Please accept my humble obeisances, Guru Maharaj, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Thank you very much for
Mukharavin?
Yeah, it's Mukharavin Das here, Guru Maharaj.
Hi, Mukharavin. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much. The whole reading is like amazing. One particular point that and two points I like. One was like what Hans Priya Mataji told, controlled by love. Recently we had in one of the birthday party, and then the cake turns out to be not so sweet. Then the devotee has prepared so with like putting all the effort, but somehow not come. Then I see that all the devotees started giving the example of Lord Krishna's, and then I see that how situation turned differently. I was thinking that how what Prabhupada has mentioned, Krishna become obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. So that was point that touched me.
That's a good example too. Very nice.
And the second point I like was gentle. How he was maintaining the social etiquette in all his dealings. That is like something seems to be like very, very, and it's very encouraging to see that how Krishna followed, like even Yudhishthira Maharaj, he used to pay obeisances and he first got down to the from the chariot so that before Yudhishthira Maharaj. So it's like very nice to see and also inspiring to follow in his footsteps. And as you are telling that brings the actual rasas in devotees. When we associate with devotees and we get their blessings by following the right social etiquettes.
Nice points, Mukharavin. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances on Guru Srila Prabhupada.
That's Malini. Hare Krishna, Malini.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Great.
Thank you for the wonderful reading, Prabhuji. And I liked all the qualities that devotees already mentioned. But one thing actually caught my attention was Krishna's all-famous. And to spread the Krishna consciousness is like spreading the moonshine which turns darkness into light. And everything turns into white and pure. And the example also that Prabhupada mentions in that was how when Narada Muni was chanting, Lord Shiva's throat or the bluish line on his neck actually disappeared. And Balram also, when he hears Krishna's name, his dhoti turns from blue to white. and it says that that how Prabhupada said, in other words, the spreading of Krishna consciousness or the glories of Krishna, everything becomes auspicious and pure. So that was really nice to see.
Wow, very nice. I like add into that about how Krishna's all opulent. Text number 48, And I was thinking of these numbers that are being listed here. His family consisted of 560 million members. 560 million members. And all these family members were obedient and faithful to Krishna. There were more than 900,000 big palatial buildings. I mean, if the numbers weren't so mind-boggling, then it wouldn't be God, because he's, you know, Krishna's so opulent that when you hear the numbers of how many cows he had, how many family members, it just makes the mind say, it's just beyond what one can imagine. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Anyone else, Shraddha?
Yeah, Maharaj, I have a couple more.
Okay.
Did I go ahead?
Go right ahead.
Please go ahead. 560-1504. Hare Krishna, we can't hear you. 408-560, you're unmuted now. Okay, I'm going to skip and go to the next line.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Bhakta Anthony.
Bhakta Anthony, fantastic.
Yes, sir.
Calling all the way from Texas?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I'm impressed. All right, tell us what you heard.
Thank you so much for the reading. It was beautiful, and it's always really nice to go over all of these qualities of Krishna. The one that really I caught my attention was controlled by love. I always love the story of Siddhama when he goes to see Krishna. It's just a huge reminder to me and a great example of how much Krishna loves his devotees. And, that's always a very nice one.
Very nicely put in it. Obviously a personal point, something that really touched you. When I was in the San Francisco temple in 1973, when I first joined around that time, we used to do a lot of plays. And I got to play Siddhama in the play. And I remember going over that over and over the story so that it could be in the play, and also being really affected by that. Especially when you do the play too, then you can really identify with the character.
Yeah.
And it was very sweet, just how Krishna was so personal with him. When Siddhama came to his palace, Krishna got down and washed his feet and talked about the old times in the school and everything like that. So nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, thank you very much for sharing that. Beautiful. Thank you, Bhakti Anthony. Really nice. Does anybody else mind?
Yeah, Maharaj, I just wanted to add to what Malini Mataji has said. She was struck by the quality famous. And I was also, what struck me was the definition of famous. It says that a person who becomes well-known due to his spotless character is called famous.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice.
I mean, we have totally forgotten the definition of famous, especially in Kali Yuga, people.
Yeah, that's right.
Not the Donald Trumps of the world.
People are more, they're famous for their spotted character in Kali Yuga. Wow. Very nice. Anyone else in line?
Yeah, Maharaj, while I was talking, two more joined us.
Oh, good. It will go on forever then. Please, go ahead.
Krishna's qualities are infinite.
It's like Anantashesha. He's constantly singing with his various heads the glories of Krishna since the time immemorial, but he's never come to the end of it. So we're going to try to keep going on here without stopping. All right. Who's next?
Hi, Krishna Guru Maharaj. It's Aruna Keshavi.
Aruna Keshavi. Fantastic. Wow. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you so much for reading both yesterday and today. It's just been amazing. And I was just reflecting on how Krishna has all of these qualities, and he has them perfectly and completely, and yet he's not puffed up. I mean, in today's reading, it says that he's gentle and he doesn't become impudent or exhibits a puffed up nature. yet me as a conditioned soul, I mean, when I feel like I've done something tremendous, it goes straight to my head. And yet Krishna is not that way. And he has all of these qualities completely, and it's just amazing.
That is amazing. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. To be able to have all this opulence, but then not to consider it and not to be attached to it. Yeah, that is really beautiful. I always think when Lord Chaitanya is with his devotees, it always impresses me how he always glorifies his devotees. Whenever anybody says anything about him, he says, no, I got it from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Or someone, everything I know I learned from Ramananda Roy. He's the source of everything, but he's exhibiting that great humility. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Arun Keshri.
Thank you, Arj. Thank you.
Jai. Hare Krishna. You said there was another devotee waiting, Shraddha? Uh-oh, we lost Shraddha. Now we're really in trouble. Is anybody else waiting to speak, or am I talking into a void now?
I was on mute. Yeah, okay. So there's one call that has joined us, and Varshana Mataji has sent a text.
Oh, that's innovative. Let's hear that.
Okay, so I'll read out Varshana Mataji's text. She says, "My voice cannot be heard. Lord is all worshipable. He is worshipped by the demigod. Then nobody should have any doubt in his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead."
I like that. No doubt. That'll do the trick. Just focus on Krishna as the Supreme, the Lord of everyone, and you'll be fine. Very nice. Anyone else, Raja?
We have one more devotee on the line. Please go ahead. Your lines are on.
This devotee gets the last word, I think.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, reflecting back on Bhakta Raphael's comments and your answers earlier, isn't the appearance of a spiritual master in somebody's life is also a result of what he has kind of done before that, like his all requests and prayers and everything else?
Yeah. Well, Krishna's mercy. I mean, the spiritual master is a manifestation. One of the manifestations is Krishna's mercy. Lord Chaitanya taught, Brahmanda Brahmate Kom Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pari Bhakti left the beach. That when wandering and wandering throughout the universes, when Krishna is very merciful to someone, he gives the spiritual master. And by Krishna giving the spiritual master, then the spiritual master gives Krishna to the disciple. So there's that wonderful relationship. And in the first chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna asks Kaviraj, you can see how important it is. He goes at great lengths just starting off the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the most important book in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, explaining what is the position of the spiritual master. And he talks about how there's a Krishna comes as the spiritual master, and he describes the Vartmana Pradarshaka, spiritual master, who's the one who introduces somebody to the path of Krishna consciousness. And then there's the Shiksha Guru, who explains the path of Krishna consciousness, and Prabhupada says in his purport that usually the person who explains the path of Krishna consciousness and teaches one about it later on becomes the Diksha Guru, who gives the mantras through which one makes progress in devotional service and so forth. And yes, those are all manifestations, Kaviraj Goswami says, of Krishna himself, who comes to assist the devotee. Now there are many tattvas in our philosophy, many different kinds of truths, and out of all of them, their understanding Guru Tattva is especially subtle and a little difficult to understand. Another one of the tattvas, which is considered to be difficult to understand, is Shiva Tattva. Who is Shiva? He's God, but he's not God. He's like milk, but he's also slightly transformed and so forth. So it's a topic which has gone into quite a bit in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, also in the Sanatan Goswami's book, which he wrote specifically, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, to explain the process of devotional service. The first Vilas goes into the description of guru and disciple and so forth. Anyway, that's a long topic, long and interesting topic about how Krishna makes his mercy localized for the particular person in this world. And someone who has a guru may be experiencing Krishna's mercy in a local way through that particular representative. And others may see, oh, this normal, ordinary person, but somebody else is actually experiencing that person channeling Krishna's mercy in a very special way. A lot can be said, but it's a good point you brought up. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, we tried. We came to the ocean, and we just tried to wet our beaks just a little bit by drinking out of this ocean of Krishna's qualities. And we'll keep trying again and again. Tomorrow we'll keep the vibration going one way or the other on Krishna's qualities. And thank you, everyone, for taking time out of their busy schedules, and some of you all the way on the East Coast staying up into the wee hours of the night just to hear and chant. All glories to the assembled devotees. Vancha kalpa turugascha tripasanabhyevacha Patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Shraddha, can you unmute everybody? Can everyone please say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Grandpa.
Hey, Gita Priya, Hare Krishna. We're all lucky to be devotees of Lord Krishna. Go out and tell somebody else. Give him the Bhagavad Gita. Give a little mercy out to everybody. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.